Today we do have communion, but it'll follow the message today. Now, as I shared last week, I do a Sunday humor, of course, every Sunday, but this one in particular I've been wanting to do for a whole year. So I'm excited about giving this one, but I want you to really pay attention because I don't want you to miss the punchline, okay? It's about 1820s, and there's a little boy, and his name is Sam. Now, Sam was playing in the backyard, and he was playing a pretend fighting game. And he ends up knocking over the outhouse. Now, Sam got worried and upset and knew he was in big trouble. So he ran into the woods until it got dark. And then Sam came back. His pappy was waiting for him. Pappy asked Sam, "Did you knock over the outhouse?" Sam replied, "No, Pappy, I didn't do it." Pappy said, "Sam, let me tell you a story. Once there was a Mr. Lincoln who received a shiny new axe, and he went in the backyard to try it out. He got this shiny new axe from his father. So as he went in the backyard, he got carried away and realized that he had cut down his mother's cherry tree. And he, too, ran into the woods until dark because he knew he was in trouble." Abe Lincoln said, as he came back, his father said, "Did you cut down the cherry tree?" And Abe Lincoln said, "I cannot tell a lie. Yes, I did indeed cut down the cherry tree." And his father said, "Well, since you told the truth, I will spare you punishment. But I hope you learned the lesson." So Pappy asked Sam again, "Did you knock over the outhouse?" And Sam said, "Pappy, I can't tell a lie again. I did indeed knock over the outhouse." Then Sam's father spanked him red, white, and blue. Sam said, "But Pappy, I told you the truth. Why did you still spank me?" Pappy answered, "That's because Abraham Lincoln's father wasn't in the cherry tree and it was chopped down." The end. So we all know where Pappy was at during the big event. Okay, the title, which I don't usually name the titles of my messages a lot of times, but this one, because when I was looking at the bulletin, I go, this is it. The land of the free because of the brave. The land of the free because of the brave. Now, I want to, if you have your Bible with you, I'm going to turn to two different scriptures. But this one here is out of Galatians chapter 4, verses 31, and also chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, "So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." Of the free. And then it goes on in chapter 5, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In a way, when we look at this scripture this morning, it is a prophetic word to this nation. It's saying that we no longer have to be in bondage. We don't have to be a people pleaser. God brought this nation to being because he knew that those that founded this nation were going to use this nation, and it would be a foundation of Christ, of the Father, of the Word. And that's why he made this nation possible, because he knew the men, the families, the women that were going to come to this nation, and they were going to make the gospel the foundation to this nation. But let me not get ahead of myself here this morning. We know today is the 4th of July. It's Sunday. But today is we celebrate 244 years of the nation's independence, its birthday, its anniversary. And the July 4th in this nation is one of the most celebrated holidays that we have. Now, I want to share something. It says in 1837, John Quincy Adams delivered a speech in America on its 61st birthday. He properly reminded the crowd that one of the most important elements of America's movement for independence was its spiritual foundation. So clearly, John Adams knew that God's hand was upon America's independence. So while we celebrate our liberties today, this year, let us not forget that those liberties came only through personal sacrifice and also at a high price, that many lives were laid down for our independence, for our freedom. And yes, today or maybe yesterday, we celebrated with or are going to celebrate with fireworks, with festivities, with a picnic, with parades. But let us not forget that God made this possible. God made this nation possible. This is a free nation. We've been birthed into this country. That in itself is a blessing. That is an opportunity right there in itself to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to live in this nation, to experience the freedom of this nation. Don't you think that those who fought for this independence that we share today, don't you think that those that signed the Declaration of Independence, that when they envisioned this land of the free, the home of the brave, that it took an eye of faith to do that? Because look where they were at. They were in bondage. They felt like they were made to feel like they owed a debt when they came to this new land. They felt like they owed a debt, and they had to be a people pleaser. They had to go according to the laws of where they came from and not where they are. So they were made to feel like they owed a debt. But then God set them free from that bondage, gave them wisdom, gave them strength, gave them courage, gave them all the tools that they needed to begin this nation. Now, I don't know whether any of you know this gentleman. His name is David Barton. He's an author, and he's also a public speaker, and he is the president of what they call Wall Builders. It's a pro-family organization, and what it does is it educates the grassroots society or to rebuild America's Constitution. And what I mean by rebuild, over the centuries, some of what was meant to build this nation up, people have misinterpreted some of the Constitution, and they've turned it to meet their needs, not the needs of the people as a whole. So what this nation does, or what this particular man does, is he goes back to the Constitution, and he says, this is what they meant when they wrote this. This is what they wanted to accomplish when they wrote these amendments in the Constitution. He goes on and he says this: founders were concerned and troubled about the possibility that over the coming years, over the decades, over the centuries, that the American people would forget the sacrifices necessary to preserve the liberty of our nation. The great thing is, he says here, there was a letter that he found that was from Dr. Benjamin Rush to John Adams. And it was after the celebration of the 35th birthday or the anniversary in 1811. And this letter stood out. There was parts of it that stood out. And here's the part of this letter, which when I saw this, it was just mind-boggling. This is, again, a letter from Dr. Rush to John Adams. It says this: "Do you recall your memorial speech upon the day in which the vote was taken?" Talking about the Declaration of Independence. He's going, "Do you recollect the pensive and awful silence which pervaded the House when we're called up one after another to the table of the President of Congress, John Hancock?" What he's saying here is when they came up one by one, their names were called, and one by one they came up and they signed the Declaration of Independence. He says you could hear a pin drop because of the definitely silent how it was in the House when they were doing this. Then he goes on to say, as we signed what was believed to be by many at that time to be our own death warrants. That's what he wrote to John Adams. That they knew when they signed this Declaration of Independence, it was going to be a long, hard road. But yet they knew when they did that, they were signing their own death warrants. But because they knew that God was not only going to be there for them, but he had already gone ahead of them and made a way to make it possible for this nation to be what it is today. But don't you think that when they signed this declaration, they had to have the eyes of faith? They had to have faith, to trust that God would make it possible. That they had to be the hands and feet, but they had to have faith and trust that God was going to see them to the other side. Just like when they crossed the Red Sea, wasn't the first thing that the Israelites said when they got to the Red Sea? "Hey, take us back. Take us back to Egypt." Because what? They saw the sea before them and they saw the Egyptians behind them and they were between a rock and a hard place. And yet, Moses, all he did was listen to God. And he did what God told him to do and the sea was parted. And they were brought to the other side. That is the same thing that these men did when they signed that independence. They had to have the faith, the eyes of faith, to go ahead and put their name on that paper and trust that God was going to get them to the other side. Now, John Adams, he writes to his wife, Abigail, and she says, "On the day that they approved the declaration, I am apt to believe that that day will be celebrated by succeeding generations." That's us. That's us he's talking about here. "I am apt to believe that this day will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the day of deliverance." Not just a day of independence, but a day of deliverance. There's more to this package than what we realize. So when we thank God, we not only need to thank him that we are enjoying that freedom, that he made that freedom possible, but he set us free. We have been delivered from bondage, not only physically, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So much happened when those men signed that Declaration of Independence. It not only set them free physically, it set them free spiritually. All of us in this room, none of us want a religion. We want a relationship with Christ. And that's what happened when they left that land of bondage and crossed the ocean and came to a new land. They were no longer under that bondage. They were brought and set free in the spirit as well. So showing the Father our devotion. As I ask you this question, what will you do with your freedom? today. The first thing that we can do is show the Father our devotion and our thanksgiving, because his hand was, is, and is going to be upon this nation. We cannot go by what we see. We have to go by the promise that God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always. God doesn't start something and not finish it. He started this nation, and he will see to it that it is still one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Because of the 4th of July being on Sunday, we're going to find ourselves today, because it is Sunday, we're going to find ourselves saying thank you, Lord. But let's not just do it today. Let's do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. As we get up and we read our devotions, let's say thank you, Father, that we are in the land of the free. And we are in the land of the free because of the brave. Those brave men and women who went to the front lines and fought physically, or maybe by paper, by signing the Declaration of Independence. Like those who saw freedom for the land, this country, through the eyes of faith, we too can see ourselves, our nation, through the eyes of faith. And as we see through the eyes of faith, faith will override fear. I told you this before, that fear and faith cannot be in the same place. You either have faith or you have fear. And sometimes, maybe at night when I'm thinking about something else or I hear something that's unusual, automatically the first thing that comes to me is, okay, what are you going to do? You're going to have faith or you're going to have fear. They can't be in the same place. One has got to go. And I always choose faith. Always choose faith. And I find that fear is gone just like that. I stand upon the word. Faith and fear cannot be in the same place at the same time. Faith overrides fear. It takes the place of fear. Faith in Christ Jesus brings us freedom. Freedom from the power of sin, of old habits, of gossip, idolatry, sexual immorality, lying, pride, jealousy, unforgiveness. The list can go on and on and on. But it sets us free. Faith sets us free from all of that and more. Freedom from the penalty of sin because of Jesus Christ, who paid this price for us. He took our place. He took our place. He had victory over sin and death. Christ, when Christ set us free, it was for freedom. He set us free for freedom. Freedom from trying to earn our salvation. Freedom from being a people pleaser, like I said earlier. And also, freedom to share the good news of the gospel. Before I close, I want to share this. It's a song. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read the lyrics to you. These three men, they're all three pastors. They're called Phillips, Craig, and Dean. They are pastors, but they also are contemporary Christian writers and they sing as well. And the song is called Freedom Isn't Free. It goes like this. It says, standing on a hillside where the river meets the sea, white crosses without number line the fields of peace. And each one a silent witness staring back at me. Every cross a story of another place in time. Where young men thought it worthy to give their life for mine. And for the sake of honor, left their dreams behind. And for the peace they paid, I'm forever in their debt. Their memory will not die, because I won't forget. I will stand and hold my head up high, I will dedicate my life to the glory of the one who died for me. I will live what I believe, if for no one else but for me. I will remember that freedom is never free. It was on another hillside, outside the city gates, the battle lines were drawn as soldiers took their place. The father watched in silence as a cross was raised. With freedom drawing closer, he took his final breath. He drank our cup of guilt and took the sting of death. Heaven's finest soldier, clothed in human flesh, and for the price he paid, I'm forever in his debt. The cross will never die, because I will not forget. I will stand and hold my head up high. I will dedicate my life to the glory of the one who had to die. I will live what I believe, for no one else but for me. To remember that freedom's never free. I will walk free. I will stay free. I will live free. And I will die free. Father, we thank you for this message today. We thank you as we prepare now, Lord, for communion. Let our hearts be right, Lord, as we come before you. We thank you that we can come together as a body of Christ and take communion.